Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, it's Jess.
I'm still Jen. I'm always Jen.
Yes. So listen, we've got an awesome show. I want to get right to it.
It's called Fat Mascara.
Oh yeah, Fat Mascara. You know us. Okay, so moving along. So we put up a post asking you guys for what kind of topics you wanted to hear, and we're going to be cracking into them basically all summer, but we're kicking it off today. We're going to be talking about skincare for ladies in menopause.
It's like Total Request Live, but not, oh my God. But not live.
And I'm not Carson Daly.
TRR, Total Request Recorded. Okay, so menopause, skincare.
And then, you know, we've been talking a lot about fragrance on our Instagram stories, and you guys said, what summer fragrances are you guys loving right now? So Jen and I are doing a little bit of show and tell later. But the main event is our interview with
Ms. Hair and Humor. Camilla is a braider. She's basically my neighbor in Brooklyn. She's amazing. She's going to teach us all about braids and hair, and we're just going to have a nice chat, nice summer chat.
It's really good. Very informative.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Jen, we're not quite there yet, but there's something I want to talk to you about.
Is it the change?
The change.
Let's talk about the change.
Okay. There's a lot of attention right now on the change, i.e. menopause.
Okay. We should first of all stop calling it that. But okay,
the change?
Yes. Yeah, I guess
I think
so.
That's nice.
Yes. Okay. So,
menopause sounds so medicinal.
A lot goes on with your body when that happens, right? Your skin changes, your body changes.
Your hair changes.
For sure.
Lots. And for the first time, you know, I always feel like you can't show me anything new in beauty. Mm-hmm. I was kind of, you know, I raised a brow. We're seeing a lot of beauty brands and wellness brands target women 50 plus. So menopause, everyone is different, but like 50 is a good kind of ballpark age.
When menopause might start.
Yeah, but I think you could feel signs before. But
also, your skin starts changing even before, you know, the rest of the stuff. So,
and next year, with more than 50 million women in the U.S. will be over the age of 50, which is actually the average age when menopause hits. So, you know, this brand Paws crossed my desk the other day.
I met the founder.
Oh, yeah. So what was that like?
Amazing. I liked her. Her whole attitude was like, yeah, we can call it menopause. We know things are happening. Let's deal with them instead of like sort of hiding it under a bunch of like pink and purple, like butterflies and the change.
It's funny. I really don't feel like there is much of a conversation about menopause. I just want to rattle off a couple of other brands and sites that are doing work here. So like Rory is a website, R-O-R-Y. It's it's hard to say that name, Rory.
Rory.
And they sell personal lubricants to lessen vaginal dryness, which we can look forward to. like over the
not if we use that Lola personal lubricant.
Seriously. Menopause.ai, which offers products like a hair loss serum, a vitamin that has, you know, natural ingredients, which are supposed to reduce hot flashes. Bonafide.
Oh, my God. We didn't even talk about. Yeah. Hot flashes is a big part of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why we left that out.
Pause has a cooling spray for that, which I think is great.
I like that. I might be in a I might use that before my time.
Yeah, you don't like it in the summer when it's hot.
No, I'm so like horrified that the season's changing. So there is a lot of chatter about this right now, but what do you think about this actual moment in time?
Well, the other thing is
beauty.
A brand that's been around, there's also Venefect, which has been around for a little while, which is about when you start to lose estrogen, how your skin changes and collagen decreases. Listen, we don't have to list it off for you. You know, it's not, doesn't spell good stuff for your skin. I think it might have a little bit to do with the conversation of being inclusive of everyone, also being age inclusive. And instead of saying, remember how we always talked about like anti-aging is not, I mean, I still say it because I don't want to look old, but a lot of women are like, I don't mind being looking my age. I just want to deal with what's happening right now.
Well, you say anti-aging because you're saying you embrace the term or it doesn't bother you.
But we know people that don't.
Yeah, some people
and we
don't.
Talked about Allure magazine not using it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think saying this is skincare for menopausal women or premenopausal women is another way to be more inclusive and embrace the idea of aging and not be like anti-aging. Because technically, though, if you look at a lot of these products that are marketed towards women in this cohort, they are anti-aging products.
Yeah. And it's all about making, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's about being harsh, but it's about changing the skin or, you know, peels and this and that. I mean, there's a lot of kind of like dermatologist inspired products for that age group.
Big things, by the way, that people have to look for if you want like the tips, dryness is the big thing. So you want more moisture. A lot of ceramides are great for this time period because those are, oh, you want to say that? You're like pointing. Sorry,
I'm pointing because I talked to Josh Zeichner.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. Go
it's
for
okay.
it. Let's hear it from the pro instead of me.
Well, I think we'll know for ourselves at some point.
Did he mention ceramides?
He mentioned, okay, he said, well, during menopause, your hormone levels start to fluctuate and that has an impact on the skin and that your skin becomes more dry. Collagen production basically slows down. I was going to say comes to a halt. That's not true. You didn't say that.
You just like deflate into a pile of like empty bones and skin if you
it's
didn't
like
have
It's like the
collagen.
Witch in Wizard of Oz.
Yep. Pretty much that's menopause.
And the skin barrier becomes sensitive to the environment. So you've got sensitivity, you've got dryness, you've got slackened skin. It's kind of a horror show the way
And then
I'm
you're getting flushing because you're hot.
Oh,
you know?
My God. So he says your skin needs more hydration, more supplemental oxidants to make up for the
Oxidants?
Antioxidants.
Oh, sorry. Hey, okay.
Sorry. Because your natural antioxidant defenses, whoo.
Is that
they
a downward?
Yep,
that's a downward motion you're making.
Yeah. Whoo. And you also want those collagen stimulating ingredients like retinol, hydroxy acids, and peptides. He didn't say ceramides, but I'm going to speak for Josh. I think he would love them.
Yeah. And also, since you're more sensitive, maybe you want to go more towards a peptide than a retinol because retinol can be sensitizing for some people. Not a lot of the new ones, but yeah, there's a lot of experimentation going on. Some of those brands are definitely ones you should check out. There's a lot of newness in this area. We'll put links to those products on our blog for you. But also get a cooling spray.
I think a cooling spray is critical. That's the most critical item here. And if you guys have menopausal products or products that are helping you through menopause.
Oh, I'm going to put my mom's favorite neck wrap when she was dealing with this. She had this like cooling neck thing that you would dip in ice water and it would stay cool for hours and she would just like lay it on her neck.
Oh, I think my dad uses that for the summer. We both don't like
it. It's also kind of just nice at the beach or whatever, too.
I see dogs with them sometimes, too.
Cool. So we just made menopausal women about dogs.
Let's end on the neck wraps. The neck wraps.
Yeah.
Get yourself a neck wrap, a cooling spray, and let us know which products you like and pamper your skin.
I was about to sing, it's summertime.
I like that, yeah.
Well, I'm singing. We're starting this topic. Let's talk about it. It's summertime, Jess.
And living is
fragrant. The living is fragrant. Let's talk about perfume in the summer.
Okay, yeah, perfume in the summer is harder than any other season.
Okay, here's why. I actually have a study. I'm so proud.
Oh,
this is
God.
From the orthorhinolaryngologist. Oh, it's like what are they called? Otorhinolaryngologist. How do you say that shortly?
Sorry, I have no idea what you're talking about. What is an
OTN? Anyway, the ear, nose, and throat doctor.
Oh,
ENT. Thank you. from their
archaeologist or
no,
something.
No, some really diligent ladies and gentlemen decided to measure what happens to scent molecules in like hot, humid air.
Okay, what happens?
So because of the moisture in the air, our threshold for smelling actually gets lower, meaning we can smell things sooner. So fragrances seem more intense.
Is this why when I get out of the subway, I want to absolutely
gag? I knew you were
going to
bring up the subway.
Okay, can I tell you something? Guys, what? I don't mean to be crass, but the scents that are lying dormant that we didn't realize in New York City, they come alive like ghosts.
It's
on,
because
like,
of
Halloween.
The water vapor in the air. It's humid as hell down there.
It's horrible.
Should we fix it for everybody?
Well, I think we can only protect them oneself.
Yeah.
So anyway, only do your part.
Things smell more intense, which is often why you'll hear those tips like, oh, try a lighter scent, try a citrus scent. And that's because everything is smelling a little bit more intense. So do your neighbor a favor. But also, don't you just want that fresh feeling?
Well, I want a fresh feeling. I don't want to add to the heaviness and the thickness. So it's not for me. It's personally, it's not a time for ouds. It's not a time for incense, unless mm-hmm. it's like, you know, a part of something else that's like light. Mm-hmm.
If it's a gourmand,
heavy vanilla, oh yeah, gourmands, see you later.
No, if it's a fruity, sure, maybe.
Yeah.
So we each did we brought three things. Oh my God, I think we might have something that overlaps.
I know. We think so?
Yeah, we just brought three perfumes. Let's get into our fragrance wardrobe for the summer.
I know what you have.
How do
this
you
know?
This
is so funny. I'm looking at your squarish
okay,
bottle.
Okay, then let's just go
I
with our first ones here.
Okay.
I have Jo Loves,
okay.
Perfumer Jo Malone's line from the UK, but this is Jo by Jo Loves.
Yes.
There's an old episode, and I cannot remember the number. We had Jo Malone on, and we talked about how she's the queen of citrus, and she really is.
Mm.
This Jo by Jo Malone, you just got to
whiff. I love that one.
It's so grapefruity. It's so delicious. It's just like a cool breeze on a morning when you're like hot trash smells. What do you have?
Oh, okay. So I raise your Jo Loves. I see your Jo Loves and I raise you Jo Loves Pomelo.
We did not plan this. We just happened to both
pitch
because this woman knows how to do citruses.
I almost brought that and I was like, it was really, I had to make a choice. I was like, it's going to be easier for me to describe the Pomelo.
So what is this Pomelo smell like?
So this is, Jen already described the brand. Thank you. Jo Loves makes these fragrance paint brushes. This is just the delivery system that I'm using. You click it. I'm going to click it. I don't know if you guys heard that. Okay. Ah! Okay. And a gel comes out. And this pomelo, which is like the kind of fruit that you know they only sell at like, you know, fancy Italian restaurants in the West Village. Like,
yeah. What is a pomelo? It's like a grapefruit.
It's like a
thing.
Fruit. So yeah. Yours is like grapefruity.
Yeah.
This is very, very similar.
Let me smell.
It's like on my hand. It's weird. It's very
it's a little sweeter than mine.
Yeah, it's sweeter than yours, and it makes the back of my mouth water like a dog.
Oh my God, you're absolutely right. It does.
So this actually inspires me. You're gonna laugh to like eat healthier, like go get a juice.
Yeah,
or,
you're not gonna eat Cheetos after you smell Jo Malone Pomelo.
No, this makes me feel like I am like Italian and just have like fresh fruit and like what's it, granita or something? That's Spanish, I
That's
think.
That's like an icy treat.
Yeah, I just, it puts me in a summer frame of mind and I love the paintbrush because I can just chuck it in my bag and then I just when I need to.
You actually brought up some science for me. You painted it on the back of your hand and when I was doing this research on heat and how it affects perfume,
yeah.
Do you know your pulse points are not actually warmer part of your body?
What's the warmest part?
You know, people spray on their pulse points because like, oh, the heat will make the perfume rise. There isn't. Your skin temperature is pretty even all around. So you actually, it's just habit.
Not like
and
in
the
groin area.
But it's habit that women put it on their wrists and behind their ears. You absolutely don't have to. And if you want people to smell your lovely citrus, because let's be honest, citruses don't always last as long if for these two fragrances. The top of your forearm is like.
Really?
Yes.
That's one of the warmest pots?
No. I'm saying the warmth is the same everywhere, but you want it on the outside.
Mm.
And then if you want it to last even longer, you spray your fabric, not your skin.
Yeah. Sometimes I put it in my hair.
Honestly, you could douse yourself in either of those scents we just talked about, and it wouldn't be overbearing, I don't think. What do you got up next?
Okay. So this one is Aaron Lauder, but the brand is Arian.
Also a former guest.
We've got a couple. I absolutely love her scents. Like if you follow me or Fat Mascara, you'll know that I'm always talking about her scents. But this one is my favorite for summer. It's called Hibiscus Palm. I wore it on my honeymoon. We went to Kauai. So it gives me good memories. But it's kind of coconutty.
I like how you said Kauai, like the word cute in Japanese, instead of like the town in Hawaii. Yeah.
Kauai.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was like, wait, how do I say it? It's creamy. and coconutty without being...
This is a suntan perfume.
Yeah.
Like a sunscreen, like old school sunscreen, beachy, delicious smell.
Yes, but it's not like, and I love Bobbi Brown Beach, but it's not as sunscreeny as that. There's more of a floral.
There's a floral.
Floral mm-hmm. coconut sunscreen.
But if you love those beachy, like creamy coconut smells, oh, but it has a nice, like, what is that? Neroli, jasmine with it?
I'm not entirely sure, but it's so...
Is it maybe hibiscus palm?
It's so elegant. And how can you not feel like you're just living that Aaron lifestyle with it?
Okay. I'll live a lifestyle, too.
Okay.
It's the Southern Italian lifestyle.
Italiano.
Capri, you cannot talk about summer fragrances and not mention Acqua di Parma. Am I right?
It's so nice.
These are colognes in the true sense of the word, which is like the old school meaning of it had to be certain fresh ingredients and citruses and a certain percentage of alcohol, blah, blah, blah. But Acqua di Parma does them better than anyone. Do you agree or disagree?
I completely agree.
Also, the bottles just look like summer.
I always think that this is like, I have no evidence of this, but I picture... Like, well, if it's a fictional movie, The Talented Mr. Ripley, it makes me think of The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yes. He's wearing Acqua di Parma.
Completely.
As he takes over your life and ruins it, right?
No, Jude Law. I think Damon would steal the Acqua di Parma and just be like a creep putting it on.
Okay, so I just think in general the whole line, so I grabbed one of their newest ones, and it's called Cipresso di Toscana, so it's a cypress scent.
Oh!
So cypress is like
so
a tree.
Green.
It's very green and very herbal and woody. This would be lovely on a man or a woman if you like a traditionally what is thought of as a quote-unquote masculine scent. This is a little bit more masculine. But
it's bright.
And astringent and green and bright. It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really nice.
So if you're not into florals or citruses, what's wrong with you, A? B, this is like a woody fragrance, but like a woody for the summer.
That's
right?
A really clever pick. I like that one.
Thank you. Okay, last one.
Okay, I am going to bring up a fragrance that I brought up at a previous episode, probably about like last September, October or something. But the brand is called, and I'm so sorry, I'm going to totally destroy it, Elisire, E-L-I-S-I-R-E.
I remember we talked about this because I had to Google for hours to get the
link. I'm sorry. I remember you texting me being like, what was it?
Tiff, we're going to spell it out for you so you don't have to go through the trouble that I went through.
The tagline and the fragrance is called O Papa Guena. The tagline is a signature blend of bright nature. I got this.
Wow.
I know. It's really – I didn't know the brand. I didn't know anything when I found it. I bought this with my own money in Amsterdam. Here you go. Have a little.
As opposed to whose money?
No, it wasn't like,
like it wasn't a gift for like a beauty editor.
It's a big deal for me to throw down my own money.
Oh, my God. This is delicious.
For a luxury fragrance. I think we've been quite transparent with you guys
like
that we get a lot of samples.
On the line.
It's really nice, right?
Yeah.
It's clean. It has bergamot, grapefruit, cardamom. I don't really smell the cardamom. Orange blossom.
Didn't we learn that laundry smell is sometimes orange blossom in Spain with our former guest, and I cannot remember his name right now, lovely perfumer who does the scents for laundries.
Oh, yes.
He told us orange blossom is what laundry smells like in Europe.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. This is... It's like linens on a line.
I love it.
But like fancy Ulla Johnson, Rachel Comey linens.
Yeah.
True or not true?
I completely agree. I just feel optimistic when I wear this. And it's one of those scents you could put a ton of on your, you know, in your hair or whatever. And you feel happy.
I mean, I'm happy right now.
I love it. Okay, hit me with the last one. I don't know what I'm looking at.
You know this.
Oh, is that the molecule?
Uh-huh. Eccentric Molecules. Their newest is O4. You know, they highlight a synthetic molecule. In this case, it's Javanol. Javanol is a molecule that has like a sort of sandalwood type smell. But what they've done with it here, because sandalwood can be very like, it can be oriental and very warm. But they added lime, juniper, and pink pepper to give it like a little bit of a zest. And I know it's sandalwood, but I still get grapefruit from this one too. Like it has like a – you know what it is? When you get the peel and the peel squirts off that stuff, the citrus oils.
Yeah.
It has that like stingy –
It has a kick.
It's like a lightning brightness to it. This one gives me feelings when I get sometimes like a feeling on my skin when I smell it. It's like a electric zap, really light, but it smells like sandalwood and juniper.
I have to say this is the most complex of the six.
It's really complex, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it makes my teeth feel funny. That's just me.
I'm not sure if I want a fragrance that makes my teeth feel funny.
But do you see how it has like a lightness to it? Here, Tiff is like dying to smell it, aren't you? It's like a zap of bright energy of like sandalwood.
Tiff,
I'm not doing a good job describing this one. It's hard to describe.
You're making it the most intriguing of the bunch.
Well, that's his thing, Giza, the guy that does Eccentric Molecule. He's like a weird, amazing artist. And if he ever leaves Germany and comes to the U.S., we're going to have him on the podcast.
Oh, my God. Can you hear us, please?
I want to hear all about our listeners' favorite summer fragrances. You guys could talk to us about this for hours and we would never get bored.
We're going to do an episode where we talk about like our fragrance collections.
We're working on it. We're planning an all fragrance episode with a special guest. We'll do it later. For now, we'll just post on Instagram so that you guys can reply back with all of your favorite summer perfumes. You guys, we're so excited to have Camilla in the studio. She is a hairstylist and braid specialist here in New York City. She's known on Instagram as Ms. Hair and Humor. Welcome to the Fat Mascara Studio.
Thank you so much.
This is exciting. So before we learn all about braids, let's learn about you. Okay. How long have you been doing this? How did you even get into this game?
So I've been braiding since single-digit age. I transitioned into doing hair professionally only 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So I'm a late career changer. I did not know what I wanted to be when I grew up. And so after a series of layoffs, I decided to just jump into it and take it full time. But I've been braiding all my life as a profession, 3 years.
Amazing. Wow. Mm-hmm. And Ms. Hair and Humor.
So why is your handle Ms. Hair and Humor?
So I started as a blog, funny enough. Hair and Humor.
Were you doing that while you had like your other job, your previous job?
When I got laid off. No.
We started,
when I got laid off.
Smart.
My friends were like, you have to write, because I spent my work day writing them emails and telling them stories. Like, I'm a natural storyteller. And they were like, you have to blog. And I'm like, about what? I don't know. And so thinking of, well, who am I? You know, when you think of what to call yourself, you think, oh, what do people say about me and who am I? Yeah. And blah, blah, blah. And most people know me for my hair and for my sense of humor. It's like my little secret weapon because I'm like an extroverted introvert. So people don't know.
Jen and I always talk about this. This is
no,
so weird to bring
thing.
This up.
It's a thing.
We talked about it with our guest last week, too.
Yeah.
So what you say, extrovert, introvert, does that mean like you're extrovert in like public, but then you're an introvert inside?
I say extrovert first because I'm more so an introvert, but then I read extrovert.
Yeah, because you're outgoing.
Yeah. So I think people have a they think when you say you're an introvert, it means I'm afraid of people. And I
or shy.
Talk.
Just like at home, like under a blanket, shaking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know.
Literally, that's what people think. And they look at me and they're like, you have a whole afro. You're not an introvert. And I'm like, actually, that's where I get my security from. Like, this is...
Yeah.
When my hair is pulled back, I feel so exposed. And after even posting on Instagram, if I put a selfie, I'll kind of just disappear and I'll be like, well, that was a lot. I'm going to go now. But I know because of my brand, I have
I know what
to.
You mean.
I do that too. After you put a selfie, you like turn it off for a little and like run away.
Like, I throw my phone. I'm like, okay, I'm done for the day. I just put a selfie and I'm like, okay, 2 days later.
And then you'll look at it and be like, oh my God, what's happened?
What's happened now? Yes.
Is the world still turning?
All of that to say, Hair and Humor started as a blog. I ran out of topics. And then as I transitioned into doing hair, I said, well, now this is more about me. It's not just about random hair. Mm-hmm. It's about the hair I do and my personality. So I just added the miss as a little.
I got to ask you, you said you were like emailing stories at work, just like funny stories about coworkers and stuff. I'd love to see some of these emails.
Oh, my God. I think that's part of why I probably got laid off.
What type of company? Like, what type of work were you doing?
Luxury jewelry from a very well-known brand.
That's so funny.
If their IT department pulled up, they would probably like, this girl hates
or they have like a book they could sell.
I don't know. I really wish I had some of those emails. It was literally stories about my day, stories about
you did it from your work email? Not
I didn't know.
At least try Gmail or something.
No.
Oh, wait, you used your corporate address?
Full-time. Full-time.
Just so weird that you got laid off.
No, just
that's all right.
My stories were funny though.
But now I could just imagine.
Now you're staying true to yourself. This is what you
I
should
am.
Be doing.
Yes.
So obviously you've been braiding since you were little.
Yes.
Who are like your braid icons? Like you have a fro, so you don't have braids yourself. But I want to know like who do you picture when you picture amazing braids?
When I picture
or who's
a
your
celebrity,
hair inspiration? Sure.
It's more so the artist. It's
really?
Not because I know, and it's so funny because even now I'll see styles and everybody's like, oh my God, so-and-so has great braids, but nobody credits the artist.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Jennifer Lopez or Beyonce in braids.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the hands in the hair?
That's so you do your homework to find that out.
I try to. Sometimes you have to, like, you end up in the Instagram rabbit hole mm-hmm. where you're just, like, clicking a person, and then you're like, oh, this person did it. And it's, like, somebody with 600 followers. And
right.
Because
right.
if they're not uber popular, they just disappear
yeah.
into the world of hair. So for me, when I think beautiful braids, I think Monica. She has, whenever she gets her hair braided, she does great braids. And then I'm old, so, like, Brandy, obviously, classic. Mm-hmm. Janet Jackson, the
a poetic justice moment.
You know,
of
like
course.
Those kind of things.
That's
classic.
Not old. Don't say old.
I feel old. I'm old.
I feel like you're talking about everything that Jen and I were just talking about right before we walked in.
Well,
here.
She does have Sade on her sweatshirt.
Yes,
so.
Yes, I'm coming from this.
I'm sorry. I thought it was Jodie Watley. You were turned a weird way. It's falling weird.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
So what types of braids do you do, and what types of braids do you not do?
So right now, the demand is for knotless braids.
That's your thing,
so box,
right?
Yeah, it's become my thing. I started off doing traditional box braids mm-hmm. with the knot at the base, but the demand and also my rise on Instagram and the use of hashtags and understanding that dynamic, mm-hmm. knotless braids took a whole world of their own.
And so, what's the, besides that, the fact that they don't have the knot at mm-hmm. the top, what is the advantage of the knotless braid?
The ability to style it right away.
Okay.
Usually in the Black community, you get braids, you can't sleep, your head hurts, you're popping pills, mm-hmm. you're crying sometimes. It just really depends on the hands.
Mm-hmm.
The knotless braids, I post a lot of girls in a bun as soon as it's
yeah.
done because they're flinging. And sometimes these girls are almost brought to tears. I almost get tears, almost.
Because they love it so much.
Because of a lifelong trauma of getting braids.
With people
and the
who
pain.
Grip too tight?
Yes. It's the grip. Mm. It's the I like to touch with love. Like when I touch people's hair, it's because I care about hair and I care about them
mm-hmm.
as opposed to sometimes, I think some stylists are in the game too long and they want to get you out. It's about the dollar.
Yeah.
And I'm here building relationships. I'm nurturing. They're like, oh my God, like we're dating mm-hmm. now.
So it's not just knotless. It's like care braids.
It's an experience. Like yes,
okay.
They're care braids. Yes. Care braids. Yeah. So that's the buzz.
And now
knotless.
Could knotless be like you could be a box braid or could it be all different styles of braids and they're still knotless or it's really just that box
it's the
braid?
It's mainly the box braid,
okay.
But it's the technique of how it feeds into the natural hair.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mostly box braid style.
Yeah.
But there are ways to add hair to someone's hair and it look more natural.
I might be jumping out of order here, but mm-hmm. I did want to ask you about that. Like what percentage of your clients are using hair or just their own hair?
Everyone.
Everyone's using...
Everyone that books me.
Okay.
And
everyone that books you is using...
Extensions.
Yeah. Okay. To the point where a girl emailed me not too long ago like, do you know how to just braid regular hair? And I'm like, I do, but nobody wants their hair braided. Like I am just... I can only post what I do.
Right.
And so mm-hmm. what I do
you started
is
to get known for that.
Yes.
So if someone wanted like a short cornrow style with a lot of like intricate shapes and no mm-hmm. extensions, you could still do it or you wouldn't do it?
I could do it. I probably wouldn't.
Got it. Because you have your specialty.
Yeah, I have my specialty. I mean, I have people I could refer to.
Yeah, that was my question.
Yeah, I would send that off. And I'm a perfectionist. So because I don't do the intricate...
Yeah.
I can,
yeah,
but I will probably look like a newborn, like, oh, my God, I don't know how to braid.
She's making very slow motions with her
Yes.
<It's laughs> Who taught you how to braid?
My daddy.
Your dad?
Yeah.
Did he do your hair ever?
No.
Okay.
No one did my hair.
So who were you
my mom.
Who were
my
you
mom did my hair.
Okay.
My grandmother.
Okay.
So what happened is way back long ago, my favorite doll was a Brooke Shields head. I don't know if you know about
this. Just like a head
it was
with
a
the
head
bodice.
And the
like,
shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a Barbie.
You know that?
I had a Barbie one, but I have no doubt that there was a Brooke Shields one.
Brooke Shields and her hair. Well, she was known for that mm-hmm. hair. And the hair on the head was everything. And it was my most coveted toy. And I'm sitting on the bed. I don't have a lot of memory of my childhood, but I remember this moment. I'm sitting there and I'm twisting my fingers. And I'm like, look, Dad, I braided. And he was like, That's not a braid. And he was a Boy Scout in Trinidad.
Oh, wow.
And so part of tying rope, one of the techniques, I guess, is braiding or knotting, single knots, all those kind of things. And so he just kind of said, give me that doll. Let me show you what a braid is. And literally, it was like, a whole new world. Yeah. I have not stopped braiding since. Yep.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to what you do now,
mm-hmm.
I know this is something you really love to address on your Instagram, but what are some of the misconceptions people have about braiding? Like they come into the session with you mm-hmm. or they think they're going to get a certain look and don't. Tell me about what people get wrong.
What people get wrong about braids themselves or the service?
Sure,
just
either.
In general. Well, besides the fact that it has to hurt, that's one of the biggest misconceptions.
No, a lot of people think if it doesn't, you're not getting a good tight
hold. Yep,
okay.
It's true. So that's false. That they don't have to wash their hair when they have it. That is a huge misconception. I think sometimes when women put styles in their hair, protective styles, they think, oh, I'm free. I don't have to do this anymore. I don't have to think about it. But you have to have a clean scalp. You have to wash your hair. You have to do things that create a healthy growing environment for your hair coming out of your scalp.
How do you suggest people wash once they have braids from you?
With a cleansing shampoo, if they must, depending on their
You mean like a cleansing conditioner or like a...
Cleansing shampoo, like something that's sudsy
you
and
do
clear.
Like, you like poo.
And it
little bit.
A little bit of poo.
There's a place for poo.
Okay.
There's a place for poo.
And it doesn't mess up or like cause them to unravel or frizz or...
It will frizz, but I also show them. I literally have a mini tutorial with each of my clients on how to like gently,
yeah.
I don't know.
Like
how
get
to,
in between with your
get
fingers.
Get in between because my parting is also a big part of the experience.
Yeah.
So I say your parting is exposed. Take your hand, do a little gentle zhuzh, make a little suds, and stand under the shower head and let the dirt and oil release and wash under. You're not washing it like this is my hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you're washing it like I'm doing. It's for a purpose.
Yeah.
Everything when you have braids has to have intention. And so after you clean your scalp, I suggest like a tea tree or a peppermint oil because they actually have antibacterial, antifungal properties. So you're still creating this nurturing environment for your hair to grow as opposed to, oh my God, I have braids. I'm not combing my hair for 2 months.
Okay, so that's not quite common.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a lot of people are coming from that old school thinking or just stereotype in general, just the belief that they don't have to.
You said 2 months. So what's the standard on Ms. Hair and Humor braids? How long are they lasting?
I correct my clients when they say that. They say, how long do the braids last? No. How long should you have them in?
Okay.
So how long should you have them in?
I recommend 4 to 6 weeks because after that point, your hair needs to be washed fully, thoroughly.
Like the strands, like the insides of the braid.
You have to wash your hair.
Oh my God, what can happen to a braid with extensions if you don't wash it? Tell me what you find in there. Tell me.
It build up oil. Oil is coming out of our scalps.
Yeah.
The elements, people forget sun, wind, dirt.
Oh, in New York,
New York is dirty.
Just my windowsill, I have to clean all the time. I'm serious.
Imagine
I get
your
like,
head.
New Yorkers, you know what I'm talking about. There's like black, like soot that comes in. Like Charles Dickens soot.
So
that gets all stuck in your hair.
So imagine what's happening in your hair. And then you're not washing, and then you're going to the gym, and then.
Even if they aren't grown out, so they still look okay, if it's been 6 weeks.
Yes.
It's time to go back.
So they don't need a special shampoo. I'm still stuck on that. Like if you're getting like braids, you don't need like a special shampoo. You can just use any shampoo.
No.
What do you like? Yeah, what shampoo do you like?
What shampoo do I like? I like Cream of Nature shampoo. But you can literally, because shampoo is shampoo. It's at the end of the day, it's science, it's chemicals, it's stuff. So I say the suds, people, natural hair girls are afraid of suds, but there's a place for it. There's a place for everything.
That's why I thought that I was surprised when you said like it wasn't like a more creamy wash or something like that.
No. Not for while you have braids in, because what happens with the white creamy washes is the fact that you have the braids in your hair is entangled, entangled with it. If you don't do a thorough wash, that will stay on your hair and
you don't have a nice curl.
And it's a magnet for the soot.
Boom.
You're boom. So stuck on the foot.
Boom. It's a dirt party.
It's a dirt party. I
love do not that. Want an invitation to the dirt party.
No,
that.
No.
And I'm so, oh, sorry.
You, me? Me? Yeah, can I have more questions?
Yeah, I know.
Because we're talking about aftercare right now, mm-hmm. but then like prep is important too, right?
Yes.
So could you give people orders when they come to you, right? Like, this is what I need you. Tell us what a good client will mm-hmm. come to you with.
Oh, my gosh. A good client is coming to me with freshly trimmed hair, first okay. of all. That would be amazing. I mean, I do offer trims. But if they come prepared.
At a cost.
But if they come with trimmed hair, that's great. So basically healthy hair. And clean hair, because right now as a freelance, I wish I had a little studio just like this mm-hmm. that I could put a sink and offer these things. But in the interim, I would love if my clients had clean hair, healthy hair with no product. Mm-hmm. I actually apply a light conditioning massage.
This sounds so relaxing. I'm coming in for braids.
No, my clients
this is
sleep.
So good.
I've had snorers. A girl drooled.
This is before you even start braiding with gel and everything. This is
I could tell this is a really nice experience.
And yeah. I have a fan blowing.
Oh.
And I have music playing.
I'm getting relaxed.
And they literally, they're like, I love you. Mm-hmm.
Are they just sitting in a chair? And
they
like,
are. I have my chair. Yeah. And there's a headrest. Oh. So their head can go
back. They're definitely
back.
Falling asleep. Yeah.
No, literally. Especially my mom. My mom clients, they love it because it's an intimate exchange, which is also not what people are used to.
You're like, I'm not a babysitter. I'm afraid to leave the kids at home.
Oh, yes. Come. Someone asked me if they can bring
their child. Well,
it's hard
to get childcare.
And I kindly said no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so kind. And after she did, and she came. And then when she got to me, she was like, oh, I would never bring my child here. This is what I need.
Yeah, so, a moment away.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
You talked about a lot of that. You didn't talk about texture, but say someone's coming with like, I don't know what your curl pattern is, like a 4C, mm-hmm. whatever. Do they mm-hmm. have to blow it out at all?
Can you? Yes. Yes.
So that's another thing,
right? That's another thing. No kinks or coils or curls. That's not the place for that. And the reason being, to get the most out of the style, mm-hmm. you want to start with a straight slate.
Not
bone straight.
Right, right.
But as straight as
because
possible.
Because I feel like they have to come to your mm-hmm. place with the straight hair.
Yes. I mean, okay. if they don't, I also.
You can do it too.
Yeah. I also help them. But again, I'm all about getting people in and out at a decent time.
So it's funny you said that. So my college roommate, Gail, I don't know if you listen, but hey, Gail. Gail always got braids. I went to Rutgers mm-hmm. and she would leave on Saturday morning mm-hmm. at like the crack of dawn. And then she would come back with like some shopping and some food from mm-hmm, the city mm-hmm. and she'd have her braids and she'd get them fresh. She didn't get them done as often as you're suggesting. Mm-hmm, but I said, I remember the first time I was like, what were you doing? She's like, I was there all day. She was there like 5 hours, 6 hours. Mm-hmm. How long does it take for you to do braids on average?
Well, no, an average is 5 hours.
Okay.
That is an average.
But it's like a relaxing one, not like,
yes,
I remember
chatting.
Gail not being very comfortable.
Oh, yes. No. This is 5 hours of pleasure. Literally, we're talking or not. I mean, I follow the lead of the person in my chair because I can stand. I'm in my groove. So if they want to stay quiet and like, oh, my God, I had a bad day. Do your thing.
Yeah.
I'll be back here.
Yeah.
How many clients will you do in a day?
Two. Two is a busy day for me. I have it paced out.
That is a busy day.
Yeah.
Don't your hands get cramped up?
They used to.
So
I think
what
now
do you do?
I'm like a superhero and they because they I think besides the fact that they adjusted, I've learned to do hand exercises.
Oh, wow.
And you know those grippy...
Stress balls.
The balls?
No, not the ball. The guys, the one guys use.
Oh, my God. The weight trainer ones.
Oh, yeah. You
like
don't
those springs.
Mess with me. Yeah, you
the
don't want to mess with me. I'm like, springing.
You actually do that?
Yeah.
Did you get those like when for this reason?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Your hands must be so strong.
No, they are. So when I play fight with my husband now, he's like, I don't think you're playing.
I think you're actually
hitting me. I'm like, no, I'm really playing. But my grip totally changed.
That's really funny.
No,
it's like a weird side effect.
And does it, right. Let's talk about braider care too. Like, mm-hmm. I know the product that you're using is important for how it's going to look and hold up.
Yes.
But for you yourself, like, what kind of gels or creams do you like to use to get it to all go together smoothly, the extension and the natural
hair?
So
it depends on the texture.
Oh, okay.
So for fine hair, I like, Mizani mm-hmm, has a forming cream, I believe is the proper term. And American Crew actually also has a same kind. It's very tacky.
Yeah.
And so I know that American Crew product.
Yeah, it's
guys
a small
love it.
Black. Yeah, it's really good for the edge, and depending mm-hmm. on the texture. Or if it's natural hair and we're dealing with the alphabet, 3C, A, B, C, D, I like, it's a product called...
If you can't remember, it's okay.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I really can't remember.
You can email me later and we'll put
jar.
It
Yeah, it's a blog. Huge jar and I just... It lasts so long, and it's clear, so it doesn't
like a jet. Like I pictured Dippity Doo. Remember Dippity Doo
was
like
they still make it, I think.
And when you hit the jar with your finger, it was like ding.
Boing. Yes.
It has that like bounce,
it's like jelly. It was like
but
jelly
it's
slime,
not jam,
kind of
like a jelly almost.
Yeah,
like,
yes, but it's not like a jam. It's not like greasy. That it's very. It's that thing that you're talking about.
Got it. So I know that you know. I don't want to ask a question about how long do they last, but let's you said 4 to 6 weeks. Once you're at week 3, 4, you know, 6, what can we do to help it last? Like, what can we do to make the, you know, keep it looking fresh? You just mentioned some of the care products.
What
but
about, like, pillowcases?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. I usually recommend a scarf, a silk scarf, when you're even in the house, because people will play with their boyfriend, their dog, their baby, and they forget friction is going to age the braids. So the pillow for sleeping is great, but also just in general, come through the door. Keep your head flat as possible because you want to train your hair to stay in position because you're just going to extend it. So at that 6 week mark, besides the fact that you should be taking it out, touch ups, you could technically do a touch up because while your hair is growing and the added weight of the hair is pulling you down, that's where the problem starts. That's where people take advantage of, oh, it still looks good. I'll stretch it again, but it has to come out.
Since we're talking about the weight of it, let's talk about hair for a second. Will you buy the hair? Do they bring their own hair? Do you require a certain type of hair? Questions.
I provide the hair.
Oh, that's not so the norm, is
it's
it?
It's typically
You're like full service.
It's a full
that's
service.
That's a huge thing.
It is because...
How do you know what kind of hair you need?
Because if it's a black girl coming in, I know what she needs.
Or she'll say, do you get pictures? Period. What if she was a color, like she wanted purple?
Oh, no, we have a whole mini consult.
Oh,
so there's
okay.
like a relationship established beforehand, and my booking system allows them to put colors.
Okay.
Or they'll base it off my picture. They'll resend me somebody that I posted.
Okay, so you know what they're looking for.
Oh, yes. They fill it out. It's very simple.
A go-to brand that you like?
I do. I like Sensational Hair.
Okay.
I recently transitioned to them. And
is that
I
real
love
hair?
It. No, it's synthetic.
Okay.
I haven't found a real hair brand that I love. I would love to. There's a hairstylist in LA that I know uses human hair, and I'm so curious to do a human hair, like a Zoe Kravitz kind of look.
I'm
so curious to get into human
her
hair.
Her braids are gorgeous,
so expensive. Yeah, they're always really, really nice.
But when you say Zoe Kravitz kind of look, like how you know that's real hair? Like what do you?
Yeah, well, because I know the stylist that I don't know her, but I know
who does
from Instagram,
her
Nikki Nelms.
Oh, Nikki Nelms.
Yeah, and I believe she uses human hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's a question: when you started to transition from working at the luxury jewelry company that shall not be named to doing your own thing, did you have to go like get a cosmetology license?
I have a New York State natural hair license.
Okay.
And a cosmetology.
So
I did
what's
both.
The difference?
The difference is by law with the New York State natural hair license. I wanted to say the whole thing. I'm sorry.
Okay. Like, I mean, you earned it. So
Yes. They by law, you can braid, twist, lock, weave, anything short of cutting color.
Okay.
So I did that first because remember, I got laid off, so I didn't know. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. I know I like it, but can I really do
it?
Do this?
It like for a job.
Yeah, and so that program was 5 months. And so I said, well, this will be my foot
just
in the
for
water.
The braiding license.
For the braiding.
And could you work, like have a day job and do this, or was this like 5 months of your life?
Oh, this was 5 months straight because I had no job. So this
I don't know if you
five.
Got like a something else on the side.
No.
Wow, so I 5 months, 5 months of your life to get the natural hair license. Okay. And then did you feel like, okay, now I'm a better braider? Do you need this kind of training?
No, I didn't. The license basically...
It's just a formality?
Yeah. It basically showed me how to pass the test. The requirement by law to say...
How do you feel about that? Because some states, too, they'll require a full-on cosmetology license where you do cut color, learn to perm, all that stuff, makeup application.
No black
just
hair.
To do... And they don't even teach braiding.
No.
But if you want to braid, you still need that license.
Absolutely.
How do you feel
Wait,
about
so
that?
Wait, so do you need both? I'm sorry.
No, no, no.
You don't need
no,
both.
You don't need
you
both.
Could have just gotten
no.
yours.
I that's
you went above the...
In New York.
In New York. In other,
Iowa,
yeah, in
for
other
example,
states, you need that whole kit and caboodle, even though you're not... It has nothing to do with what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And It's
infuriating.
Yeah. Because it's an ignored texture. It's ignored people. It's just ignored completely. And so to say that you need 11 months of a program that we're not going to show you or even mention black hair in this book, but you need to read it and study it and know it. And then at the end of the day, you want to be a braider. It's like,
It's so antiquated.
What's the point? It is.
And it's it just doesn't make sense. You're spending all of this money. You're not earning.
Yep.
To make money.
Exactly.
It's all over the place. I can't explain it super well, but it's just crazy.
No,
can
it
I
is
say
crazy.
It's crazy.
Honestly, I recently emailed the department to challenge that
in New York State.
Yeah, to say, hi, I wanted to know what can be done to include the things that we actually use in real life.
So you want more black hair education in the existing licensing program? Or that
should,
you don't.
It should absolutely be a part of it.
Agree.
Yeah, no, it should absolutely be a part of it because it just, it's just so it many places make, I can go. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense.
I mean, I feel like it has a little built-in institutional racism
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, I'll say it if you want, but like.
But even still, even in school, for example.
Yeah.
The reason why I got the cosmetology, just to answer that, is because after I got licensed, my clients were like, oh my God, so now you can trim my hair. And I was like, no, I don't know how to do that. And so I decided to take it all the way. Mm. But even when I was in cosmetology school, the Russian students, they were afraid. They didn't know what to do.
With your hair, you mean?
With black hair, period.
Oh, okay.
They did. When my clients would come see me, they would gather around and watch, but they wouldn't. They're like, no, I'm not. No, I don't want to touch it. I don't want to do it.
Were they just totally intimidated because it's not part of the curriculum?
I definitely think it's an intimidation thing. Hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely an intimidation thing. And it's unfortunate because then you get into situations where in Hollywood or somewhere they're on set and a black actress or whoever will come and they're like, oh, I don't know what to do. And then you have, I mean, there are things on that float around that it's, they'll do something with black hair that's like, why?
Yeah.
Why don't you know? And they don't know because it's not part of the system, and it's not part of the system because of institutionalized racism.
Yeah, we Jen and I have interviewed a ton of hairstylists who will say, you know, sometimes like for runway shows, you know, I won't name the big ones, but you know, the brands that were probably on the same street as your old jewelry place.
Yes.
Okay. They will hire, you know, black stylists to do the braids, but then it's like hair by Pierre Brabeau, you know, and like they just always, because they don't know what to do. And they're like, okay, icons, legends, quote unquote, in the industry, but they don't know how to do, you know, hair for a tremendous percentage of the world.
Absolutely.
So,
and then that goes back to the beginning where I said the hands are being ignored, the hands and the hair are being ignored, and the black stylists are not getting credit because then it's the concept of braids on black women are not professional. Braids, locks on other races are edgy.
Do your clients and you still feel that way about braids? I mean, you're a braid specialist. Do you think that women with braids are seen as less professional looking?
To me personally, no.
Yeah, not as much.
Absolutely. In the real world, yes.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I do think so. Because they tell me about it.
Clients will say like...
They tell me all about it.
Like my boss did not like the braids or whatever.
Or the underhand, the comments. It's the microaggressions.
Oh.
It's the little things. It's,
I wish you guys could see this face.
It happens all the... They tell me the stories.
Yeah.
And then there are the ones that push back and say, but... Well, with the new ban that you can't discriminate against, you know, air quotes, but it still happens.
Oh, in New York City you're talking about hair salons. We've had some controversies here in our in our town.
In our own
We're global podcast, so we're just gonna fill you in, do some Googling.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, real talk about this on the same kind of level. Mm-hmm. What about women who are not women of color getting braids? How do you feel about it?
How do I feel about it? As a stylist, braids to the world. I want everybody to have braids because it's an art form. It's weaving. It's a skill.
And it's beautiful.
It's a beautiful skill. As a black woman, it's frustrating because, again, there will be the major, like you mentioned,
runway
shows that will take a part of black culture, put it on the models, and it's, oh my God, it's amazing. It's edgy.
So
it's
chic.
Urban. Yeah. But but then the
urban. That word always makes me laugh.
Urban.
Yeah.
That's the word, though, because it's chic. All of those words, but it ignores the source. It ignores the fact that the actual culture of people that wear these hairstyles are being fired. They're not getting promotions. There's a whole, mm-hmm. it's, the word cultural appropriation comes up, but then there's a way to appreciate without appropriating. And so that discussion,
it's ongoing.
It's
exhausting. What about this example? Because I see this and it makes me cringe. Mm-hmm. A white woman goes a cruise to the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. She stops in Jamaica. And she comes back on the
That was my elementary school. Like literally after every Thanksgiving break, there'd be a bunch of girls coming in.
Oh, like rich girls that went to Jamaica and got braids?
And mm-hmm. they would get like either
little plastic beads
either
on
just
them.
A touch on the side, just an accent moment, or the whole Monty, mm-hmm. the full Monty. Mm-hmm.
I feel like I might have gotten braids once when I was little. Anyway, how do you feel about that particular type of?
Again,
it's weird, right?
It's weird because
it's like 70-pound little white girls like coming back with like 80-pound braids.
But the thing is, again, it is a style. It is a hairstyle. Yeah. I follow Have you heard of Sweetheart's hair braiding?
No.
It's this mom. She's a white woman, and she does the craziest designs. Oh. I watch her page like, oh my God, you're a gangster.
There's like waterfall braids and
it's
things. I actually know who you're talking
about. Where
is
she from? Like what state?
I don't know.
This is hilarious.
You get lost in her work.
Yeah.
And I think she's like from Norway. She's from somewhere.
Sweetheart's braids.
Sweetheart hair design.
Sweetheart hair design. Okay.
Amazing.
I'm on
so
it.
How can you be mad at, like, you know, that's a skill. But at the same time, I just think it's when Black women are ignored or put down and told, let's not do that.
Yeah.
And then the next day you go to Jamaica and you're doing it. And it's like, no, it's just a little fun thing. But it's not a little fun thing. It's part of culture.
I wonder if we'll ever get to a place where like we can like braids are accepted by everyone. But I'm obviously we're not.
I don't think in the next 5 to 10 years.
I think it'll take a lot more speaking out, a lot more podcasts that are global, a lot more people saying, let's do the right thing, especially it's at the expense of Black women being ridiculed, being left out of the conversation, or, again, on the runways.
Does it depend on the individual who's doing it?
Who's doing the braids or wearing the
who's
braids?
Who's wearing the braids.
Sometimes it does.
Because sometimes you could tell there's an appreciation and an understanding of where the art form came from.
Well, that's what I'm thinking about, like the little girls. Or like
not
you
Bo Derek on the 70s beat. Right.
Right. But even she acknowledged that, I heard.
She did.
She did acknowledge it,
Yeah. Because she said that she was inspired by, like, the source. Like, she had, like, source material.
Source material
But, I mean,
great.
She's not going to walk around. Like, this is what I'm just genuinely curious about. If someone, I'm in Central Park, and I see someone with, like, the Bo Derek braids, can I, like, you know, tiss, cross my arms, wag my finger, if, like, who knows, like, she may have like a Bo Derek story behind her. I don't know. You know, it's like you don't. Why I asked, does it depend on the person? Don't worry, I'm not getting braids.
No.
I feel like it sounds like you're angling. Like, what about?
You want a buckwheat, don't you? You want a
what about?
She just wants the massage and the cream part.
I just come in to sleep.
No. But see, even in that, the fact that they are. Again, it's tricky because the fact that you're calling them Bo Derek braids.
Oh, that was just for our purpose.
Oh, for our purpose.
Oh, no, I did.
But that's
what style.
Happens,
I meant like she really got braids, you know, like
but
she
happens,
went for it.
But that's how it happens, though.
Right. And or they call them boxer braids instead of box braids.
Yeah.
Does that
like that. Of course. Yeah. Or what was the other one? The big one? Cinnabons.
Instead of Bantu nuts?
Yes. Like that's a big deal.
Okay, well, I didn't mean to get myself in trouble
No.
But what my point was, how can we discern who is like, you know, a moron and who is like,
genuinely,
all right, like, yeah, okay, cool. Like
you've done your homework.
Who are we talking to? Maybe it was like, it was Jawara, like, and he was like, you know, you need to recognize the source material, But how does somebody, like, in practice, just like pragmatically walking down the street, how do we know, like, hey, babe, you recognize the source material. Right. You keep going with right. those.
No, I know what you mean. And I actually thought about that recently. It's true. On a day-to-day, it is hard.
Yeah.
But I think where the frustration and the fury comes from, it's when it's the celebrities. It's when we're outside mm-hmm. of the day-to-day.
Okay.
And then it trickles down into the people who yeah. are mostly going to be morons about
I
it.
I hear you entirely.
So it starts at the top because that's the world we're in. If the celebrity doesn't do it, it doesn't exist. Beyonce can do something and it's like, oh my God, I've never seen a ponytail before. You know, so
it's amazing.
It's a ponytail.
Yeah.
So it starts at that celebrity level because we're gawkers. Everybody's looking. It's social media. Mm-hmm. We're looking. We're like, ooh.
And those are the people that need to especially do their homework.
Especially.
And also I hear you saying earlier, you're like, and recognize your stylist. Like when you put up your new picture, like who did your hair? Give her some credit or him some credit.
Yeah. Tag him. Yeah. It's so important. And it's nothing more than, to me anyway, a way to just be seen. Mm-hmm. Because my goal is not to be popular. That's not the goal. I'm doing a service.
Yeah.
I don't want to be on the cover of a magazine. I want that little small credit, though. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. if I'm doing somebody's hair in the magazine, I don't want it to be Gigi Von G. I want it to say Camilla's hands. Yeah. This is who did this. That's a skill. That's a talent. So... It is frustrating.
It's happening for you, though. I feel it.
It's bubbling. It's bubbling.
Can we talk about your gorgeous hair?
Yes.
It's not
we always ask people at the end, we say, what are some of your favorite products?
Yeah, what do you use in your hair?
A little bit of everything. I'm so not loyal. I spend the least amount of time on my hair. Like, I will be with my client and say, you should wash your hair and oh my gosh, you have to do this. And then when I leave them, I'm like, I'm not doing my hair. Like, absolutely not. I'm going to sleep. I don't have time. So for me right now, besides the cream of nature that I use a brand called The Do. I use Camille Rose.
D-O-O, not D-E-W, right?
No, D-O-U-X.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's like an old school.
They have
classic.
Yeah. I love the branding for that brand.
Yeah.
And what else? Camille Rose, Jane Carter. I literally grab because I go to events sometimes and I'll get things. Mm-hmm. And then because my hair is that was so funny.
Mm-hmm. We've known each other a while.
I'll just grab anything because my hair is curly. I can literally put cat tears in my hair and it will curl.
What?
I'm just saying.
You quit
anything.
What'd you say?
Anything wet.
Cat
I
tears.
Said cat tears.
Cat tears.
But I don't mean cat tears. No.
That's so sad, the idea of a cat crying.
But you know what I mean? Like clients ask me, what do you use in your hair?
A lot of people with curly hair, they're very particular. So,
No, I'm not.
My friend has like a cocktail that has not changed since like 1999.
Really?
Yeah. It's like half herbal essences gel.
Mousse.
Yeah, it's mousse and it's a whole. She's
all right,
got a recipe.
What's your lip recipe then? Before we let you go,
my lip recipe.
So you have a lovely red lip.
Thank you.
But it's like a deep blue red.
It's Ruby Woo, but I do mix. So I'll do Ruby Woo as my base.
Okay.
And then I'll take a red dollar store pencil and I'll color in just to give it an extra.
You do the pencil after the lipstick.
Yes.
Oh, I do it the other way around.
And before. I mix. I'm all over the place with it.
So you have some nice lasting power.
Yeah.
The base. Do you carry around the pencil too?
I do. I'm not fussy about anything else.
Okay.
But my mouth, even when I get my makeup done, I'm like, make me everything fabulous. Don't touch my mouth.
You'll do it yourself.
I have to do my mouth myself.
Some people like that with mascara,
too. Oh, yeah. I don't like people like,
do you wear mascara?
I do.
What's your mascara?
L'Oreal, the gray one.
The Voluminous?
Yes.
The classic.
It's good. So juicy.
Best. Yeah. It's literally the best. And I have little short lashes, and it just makes me look like.
Nice.
I have something there. I don't.
This was fun.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I learned
you
a lot.
So
this is a really good convo.
Tell us if you hear back from the New York State Cosmetology Board or whatever they're called.
I'm going to follow up with that.
Okay.
Because it's important, especially to me.
Thank you so much.
And us.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you so
of
much
course.
For caring.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. We've never said bye before, but I like it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com. This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's time to raise a wand.
Indeed it is, Jen. Indeed.
First wand raised for Camilla, who was an excellent guest.
Yeah, she was great.
Now on to the products.
Okay.
What do you got?
So I want to talk about an underutilized brush. I'm sure many of you have brush kits with this, that, the other brush. Maybe you're like me and you don't know which goes where. There's one brush that counts, and here it is. Your eye smudger brush, your eyeliner smudger brush.
Wait. Liner smudger?
Yeah, it's called like an eye smudge brush.
What does it look like?
It's skinny.
What brand?
So right now I'm using one from Laura Mercier. I also have an old one from Space NK when they used to do like their own private label brushes, which P.S. are so amazing. I still have them like 10 years later. But Bobbi Brown is one of the first to make a great smudge brush.
Let me see what they look like so I know what we're talking about.
Really like, sorry, I'm not being clear.
Oh, it's a stubby.
It's a stubby skinny brush.
Is it a flat, like an eyeliner brush, but stubby? Or is it
it's kind of rounded.
Okay.
Maybe some people make it for? Some of them are dome shaped. How's that? Does that make it clear?
Yes. Getting better.
Yeah.
So you like, which brand is it that you said again?
So I'm using Laura Mercier and Space, but I also know people are crazy about the Bobbi Brown one and Charlotte Tilbury. I want to get my hands on that one too because that one's a bit flatter.
So you're raising a wand to the entire smudge.
Yes.
Eyeliner smudge brush world.
And here's why. I like to use pencil liner because it's quick, not necessarily because I love, you know, a scroll of like, you know, waxy looking line on my lid. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I have to figure out how to make it look like natural. I'm trying to make my makeup look a little bit more natural lately.
Okay.
So I'll take my like chocolate brown eyeliner and now I'm starting to.
You've been using the Revlon. Yes.
Yeah, the Revlon. Just smudge it out. Not crazy. Just buff it out a little bit. And it makes a huge difference. And our fabulous guest, Elizabeth Hurley, a couple of weeks ago, she likes to smudge her liner, too. And I've loved her liner
when
since
the dawn.
When
you say smudge, do you also draw it out at the corner a little bit?
Personally, that's just my eye shape. It's more flattering.
So when you still have playtime.
My God, I feel like this is an interrogation.
No,
I feel
but like when there's still playtime with the color, you put it on, but it hasn't yet set.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got. Thank you for the specificity.
Okay.
You've got to hit it with the smudge brush fast.
And do you go back and forth, or in one direction only?
I like to go one direction because I don't like it to. Sometimes you can pull the color and then it's uneven.
Also, they get a little. Mine are a little wonky with you know, chocolate brown ears.
Yeah. Like, I just go smooth, gentle. I just want a softer makeup look. I used to just do like, not a hard, ugly line, but just like a line of pencil.
Right. This isn't like your cat eye distinctive. Yeah. This is a little smudgy.
Yeah.
Hence the name.
I don't have the time to do a cat eye. Maybe on the weekend.
Got it.
What's up with you?
I'm also on the lash line game this episode.
It's weird how that happens.
So we all know I got my Sugar Lash Pro lash lift. And people were asking me about, like, really, how does it grow out? So
yeah.
I think I'm at 4 weeks now. We're at the part where some of the non-permed lashes are coming in.
Okay.
So I'm raising a wand to Surratt Beauty Lash Curler.
Mm.
A, because it's a great lash curler that literally fits everybody's lash shape. It's not too rounded. It's nice and almond.
Yeah, I don't like when they're too
round. The curve is nice and almond. And the cushion is still very it's firm. It's a firm cushion, so it doesn't squish down a lot. Like it's, yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, when they're too foamy, it's like marshmallow time.
I'm like squeezing so tight, and you end up with an L-shaped lash instead of a gentle curl. So I've been using Surratt Beauty, and I'm using it just to get the straight lashes that are growing in to sort of curl with the permed lashes. Still looking good, though.
No, your lashes still look really
good. Even when I don't have any makeup on, I'm still looking like more wide awake. But Surratt Beauty, if you need a good curler to transition your lash perm out.
Specific.
I know.
But it's still.
What have I ever said that sentence?
That's my lash curler too. I don't have a perm and I really like it. So yeah, it works for no matter what your lash situation is. Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social at fatmascara, shoot us a DM, and we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
5.
5, please.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.